98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
Your first question for the Rush Hour Reboot. Out of the 17 hot topics today, how many will we get through?
Yeah.
Depends how long you are, Doug.
There, you know it's not on me.
Don't laugh at that, Mel.
Well, we all know.
We know the truth. We know the truth, Wolf. Come on.
Give me the Snoop Dogg.
Don't have the Snoop Dogg.
Okay, next.
We have this quote from Wolf in last week's show meeting.
People are coming here to play with me.
That's so bad, Aaron.
Suns owner Robert Sarver joined Burns and Gambo yesterday to discuss the team's finals run and, of course, the future of potential free agent Chris Paul.
You know, I had some discussions with him after the season, and, you know, I said, you know, you've only been a part of the organization for 9 months, so there's really not a lot of history here. But, you know, from a team perspective, it was my best season in 17 years, and it was your best season in 16 years. So there's really a lot there to kind of keep the two of us together, the Suns and him. But, you know, he's got a decision to make and a business decision and a family decision, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not our decision. It's his decision. And
how do you feel about the future of Chris Paul in Phoenix after hearing what Sarver told Burns and Gambo yesterday? I was feeling really good, guys.
I was feeling really good until I heard that. I know that there's not a lot of people that are going to hear that from their boss and say, well, I'm motivated to stay now. But I think Chris Paul draws his motivation from himself and from playing with Monty, Booker, Mikal Bridges, and D.A. I still think he stays.
I just have to say it was so weird. It was so odd to hear Robert say it was my best season in 17 years. I mean, we all know what he meant. We all know exactly what he meant. But when you relate it to Chris Paul's it was Chris Paul's best season in 16 years as well. It just sounds so weird right there. It just got a little sideways on that one. And listen, Chris Paul is going to be a Phoenix Sun going forward next season. My only question is it going to be for 3 years or just 1 year? Which way is it going to go? Because to me, Chris Paul's coming back, and that's what matters. Hmm.
The Suns owner also discussed the status of extensions for Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton.
You know, listen, they're both important assets. Whether a deal gets done with them before this season starts or not, I don't really know. You know, none of those discussions have taken place or started to take place. And, you know, fortunately, they're both restricted free agents, too. You know, we start with that. And, you know, that kind of gives us the upper hand in terms of dealing with them and being first to talk to them and all that kind of stuff.
What do you think will happen this offseason?
Boy, I believe that Ayton will get the extension because of your question before that. Because Chris Paul is going to stay, in my opinion, and therefore it makes sense to pay Ayton. However, as Cam Johnson keeps getting better, if Cam Johnson is starting to play defense at the level of Mikal Bridges, I think you want to keep Mikal Bridges, but you might not break the bank for him, and you might let him become a restricted free agent and just see how much money somebody else is going to give him. So I think Ayton will get the extension and Bridges won't.
So the discussions, what he said, we haven't started those discussions, obviously. He means with Mikal Bridges and with DeAndre Ayton, mm-hmm. correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he means right there, not the fact that they haven't had those discussions in the front office. Of course they've had those discussions about that, and if in fact they have, I believe Doug Lease is right on this, that's exactly how it will go.
The 2021 NBA draft is tonight, as the Suns have the 29th overall pick. Gambo tweeted out on Monday night that the Suns will draft someone they think that can provide depth and that no position is off the table. He added that the Suns will again value experience. If close between a few players, experience will likely factor in. What do you think the Suns will do tonight?
Man, I'll tell you what, I got no idea.
I want your top five prospects you want the Suns to draft.
I know exactly, Bell. You got to be kidding me. Only Doug Lease geeks out about the NBA draft when the Suns are picking number 29 in the draft. I don't know. I continue to revel in the fact that they're picking number 29. what an awesome season it was for the Phoenix Suns, and what a refreshing thing it is that they're picking number 29. And you're just hoping they get a guy that is actually going to stick, get a guy that will be here in 3 years. You know, it just, what a beautiful thing that is. And Doug Lease, I know you got a lot to say about this, so I will yield.
You know, this isn't who my number one pick would be for the Suns, but I could see, I've never said his name right, Dosunmu, I just took a guess at it. He's the Illinois point guard. And the reason why I suggest that, I'm going to ballpark his age at 22. He might be like 21 and a half. But you want older, but James Jones always takes older, proven, intelligent guys who are leaders. And that is him. He was a good leader for Illinois, made a lot of good decisions, good ball player. I probably watched about 20 of his games last year. I would keep my eye on him if I'm a Suns fan, if I'm guessing who the Suns secretly like and don't want you to know.
What I'd love to see is Trey Murphy the third. Trey Murphy the third. You want a name? I just gave you one.
There you go.
Trey Murphy the third at 29. I doubt he'll be there, though.
J.J. Watt missed practice yesterday with a hamstring issue. Watt added that he won't be practicing today either, and the team placed him on the active PUP list, joining pass rusher Dennis Gardeck. So how long will he be out for?
I don't know. We're going to take it very slow and be very smart about it. I mean, it's a hamstring, obviously, so you want to be very smart and take your time. And like I said, September 12th is the plan.
Watt's ability to stay on the field was already one of the biggest questions heading into the 2021 season. But how much more of a concern is it now?
Oh, man. Listen, I'm not concerned at all. I said this before. I'm going to continue to say it. When he starts missing padded practices or doesn't play in a preseason game, that's when I'm going to start worrying about it.
I think it's fair to be either way. Say, hey, it's a hamstring pull early in the season. Who cares? And to say, hey, here's J.J. Watt getting hurt. It happens all the time. You know, I don't know which way to go. We'll see what happens later. But I don't know how you're not a little bit concerned for a guy that's been banged up every now and then over the last 5 years.
The D-backs traded starting infielder Eduardo Escobar to the Brewers yesterday in exchange for two prospects. So what are the D-backs losing in Escobar? Here's D-backs manager Torrey Lovello.
He is, you know, moving into an organization that is in a much better place record-wise than we are. And baseball doesn't just necessarily hand you these opportunities. And we're proud of him for this opportunity and moving on. But we've lost our all-star. We've lost somebody that's, you know, very well-respected inside of our clubhouse, and he's going to get a great opportunity to go and do something every player dreams about, and that's, you know, get into a playoff run and hopefully win a world championship.
What were your thoughts on the trade?
I thought they might get more. Neither one of these guys they got in return were top 30 prospects within the Brewers farm system. I thought they'd get a little bit more, but who knows? I mean, Cyprian might. He's, what, 18 years old?
Played 12 professional
games. He's 18 years old. Maybe he turns out to be the best player in the farm. Who knows?
You know, I feel the exact same way Wolf did, and I'm not arguing against it. I don't know what was being offered, but I thought there were more teams interested in Eduardo Escobar, and it just shows you, I hate to say it, just how bad this team is. As if the record doesn't already tell you, but you're not going to get a ton for Diamondbacks players. Not a lot of people want them if that's all you could get for Escobar. The only thing I would ask is did they screw it up by not trading him sooner? Because I have to believe earlier in the year when the White Sox were dealing with some injuries and they wanted Eduardo Escobar, I got to believe you could have got more then. Got to believe that. But I don't know it. It's just an opinionated statement. Coming up next, is bringing back Chris Paul priority number one for the Suns? And should it be? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
You have to understand with Chris Paul that he has a contract negotiation with the Suns.
Unfortunately, it's not our decision. It's his decision, and he'll have to decide whether he's going to become a free agent or opt in his contract, and, you know, we'll know that in the next 3 days.
How high of a priority is it, the long-term futures of DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges?
Both important assets. Whether a deal gets done with them before this season starts or not, I don't really know.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
A lot going on this morning. Thanks for choosing Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We're in the Auction Community Studios. I would love for you to keep listening until 10 o'clock, and then you stick it to Bickley and Marotta if you want to go to the website then. But Burns and Gambo had an exclusive yesterday. Suns owner Robert Sarver, and talking about Chris Paul and what he means to the team and what he's thinking about for the future.
You know, I had some discussions with him after the season, and you know, I said, you know, you've only been a part of the organization for 9 months, so there's really not a lot of history here. But, you know, from a team perspective, it was my best season in 17 years, and it was your best season in 16 years.
Yeah.
So there's really a lot there to kind of keep the two of us together, the Suns and him. But, you know, he's got a decision to make and a business decision and a family decision, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not our decision. It's his decision. And he'll have to decide whether he's going to become a free agent or opt in his contract. And, you know, we'll know that in the next, 3 days.
I think Robert Sarver here is really trying to be conservative in regard to his optimism. I think he feels much more confident that Chris Paul is indeed going to be a Phoenix Sun going forward, whether he opts in or opts out. I think he's just trying to be conservative in regard to delivering that message. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely it does.
And I think that's what he's doing right here. It's one of the reasons why we want him to come out and say, well, of course, Chris Paul. I think you're going to be very, very happy that Chris Paul is going to be a Phoenix Sun coming back.
I mean, that's what I want to hear. I don't know if it's fair, but that's what I want to hear. I want to hear him say, it is my job to bring him back, but it is his decision. You know, I want it to be that strong, that definitive.
I'm more encouraged now than I was in the 6 o'clock when we talked about it.
Why is that?
Well,
because we haven't talked about it in a while, so you allowed yourself to go back to being positive.
I'm more encouraged right now, Douglas, honestly, because he said it's his decision. It's Chris Paul's decision. Well, you know what? We heard from CP3, right? A little tweet. When was that? 2 days ago?
Correct.
From Chris Paul. A little tweet out there. Minch, do you have your dramatic read ready to go for Chris Paul? Okay, that's fine. Don't worry about it. We all know what Chris Paul said. Chris Paul said, you know what? Hey, listen, man, we got to get back to work. That's what he said, and he had pictures of his teammates right there. And what else? What was the hashtag? Do you remember what the hashtag was?
I think it was, don't give up now.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Now, you could twist it and say he meant about his quest for a title and not retiring, but I took it as, why would you include Suns pictures if that was what the hashtag meant?
Correct. Why would you be a doubter right here, right? He thanked the Suns fans that are out there, and hey, we're not going to give up yet. We got a lot of work to do.
I think that'd be accurate, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, get back to work.
That question from Bernsey was, is this the highest priority of the Suns offseason?
I think that'd be accurate.
I mean, that's...
There you go.
That's pretty strong on bringing back CP3.
I think that'd be accurate, yeah.
Okay. To call it the highest priority to make sure he's brought back? Okay.
Yeah, but then, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent, and we're in the same boat as everybody else.
Right. Of course. Of course.
So, you know.
He's an unrestricted free agent.
If he doesn't opt in, he's an unrestricted free agent. So maybe
that was
a Freudian slip that they all know he's going to opt out.
Right.
But he probably believes he's going to opt out. Opting out, if he re-signs, helps the Suns.
Yeah.
It's a big chunk to pay him $44 million next year.
Yes, what a bag over the head.
And it's a question for all of you. Let's pretend that we get to play with Monopoly money. If your boss comes up to you and says, I'm going to offer you 1 year guaranteed $44 million, or I'm going to offer you 1 year guaranteed or 3 years guaranteed, say, $65 to $70 million, what do you say?
I'll take the three years?
Yeah. I mean, you can bet on yourself and say, you know what, I'll take the 44 because I know I'm going to earn more later. Or do you say, I love that security to know
I'm guaranteed
for 3 years to make more money than the 44 now?
No, I see what you're saying. From his perspective.
Yeah.
Yes.
So from a Chris Paul standpoint, I think you help the Suns dramatically bring back the players you want to play with, and you make more money, and you get more security. I think that's exactly what Chris Paul would be looking for. Now, here's the one that's kind of weird with Robert Sarver, because It gives you no hope at the beginning of the quote, and it gives you great hope at the end of the quote. And that is when Robert Sarver was asked, is there anything that would prevent you from bringing back CP3?
I don't know. I'm sure there probably is, but I think our first priority would be to try to get him back. But, you know, that'll depend on, you know, his agent and James and him and me and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see next week, I guess.
It doesn't.
I mean, I realize.
It just doesn't fill you with a lot of confidence.
Totally realize you hear that when you want to hear, is there anything that will prevent you from bringing him back? No, I'll do whatever it takes.
I don't know. I'm sure there probably is.
Okay, I realize that's somebody, not very encouraging.
Honestly, somebody read me the CP3 quote. Somebody read me that tweet.
You need that?
Please. I need it now.
And now, Ron Wolfley's dramatic read.
This is not Ron Wolfley.
Read it.
But this is a dramatic read. Beloved by everybody, sponsored by nobody.
Yes.
If I got that phrasing correctly. Thank you to Phoenix and all the fans on a great season.
Yes.
Back to work. Prayer emoji.
Yes.
Fist up emoji.
Okay.
Hashtag can't give up now.
Oh, it feels so good. Feels so good.
Now, at the end of Robert Sarver's quote there, I think he knows what's going on and he's hinting at it.
You know, I don't know. We'll see next week, I guess.
I don't think you say, I don't know. We'll see next week, I guess, unless you know. Unless you feel really, really good.
Hey, listen, man.
That you get to walk in there and say, see, we were fine all the time.
I don't know. You could be more definitive, I guess. And I would have liked Robert Sarver to be a little bit more confident, a little bit more definitive, instead of, eh.
Really?
Yes. I don't know.
I didn't know at that time. I forget. That was like year three, by the way. So just knock it off.
I don't want to. I don't want to repeat what that was, because I believe the question was, are the Cardinals the playoff team?
Yes. I don't know.
And I think they ended up not as a playoff team. That was a long time ago. I don't remember for sure.
All right. Every time you get worried, we need to play the Chris Paul tweet via the dramatic read of Minch. We need to do that.
Coordinator was hugely established and highly esteemed.
I don't know about all that.
What was that? Oh my goodness, don't play that again. That was awful. What was that? Okay, no, and Robert Sarver was, you know, he had a little bass in the voice there, and that's not bad.
By the way, Maloney jumped on it. We were talking earlier this morning about how strange everything was with Aaron Rodgers and yes. The way he sounded, and then of course the famous phrase of Aaron Rodgers,
people are coming here to play with me.
So we need to know the stresses of being a QB1, and does it drive you to that level of ego? Kurt Warner going to join us at 9:15.
How about that?
Kurt Warner at 9:15 to say, are we being fair to criticize Aaron Rodgers, or hey, it's true. So he should get more say.
Oh no, he's part of the quarterback club though. You know what they're going to say.
Well, we need an opinion for that. We don't need opinions from the fullback club on not getting enough attention.
Do your job.
Should all GMs ask fullbacks what do they think of this middle linebacker?
Every quarterback I've ever been around wants to answer every question known to man.
That's because they can't trust what the fullbacks are going to say.
Stop it.
Coming up next, the Cardinals have been in training camp for just one day, and already their biggest acquisition of the offseason is on the PUP list. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is J.J. Watt, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
That's a great group. We got a good mix of experience and youth.
Let's be sharp. Let's finish strong.
You've got all the assets. You've got the talent on your football team. Time to produce.
Talent is great, but you have to be able to cultivate and build upon that.
We got the guys. We got the talent. We got the athletes. You know, that shouldn't be an issue.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
There's not an upcoming freestyle or anything.
No, there's there's no freestyle going on right now, basically. The freestyling was had by the Arizona Cardinals yesterday watching practice. That, to me, is what blew me away.
What, J.J. Watt on the sideline blew you in?
No, as a matter of fact, it wasn't J.J. Watt. Mm. It was the three biggest takeaways that I wrote in my notes that really get my attention this morning. Number one, Chandler Jones. Oh, my goodness, he looks thin. He looks svelte.
Thin in a good way, or thin like, yeah, you're too thin to hold up? Okay.
No, to somebody, if somebody told me that Chan was 255 pounds, I would say, oh, my goodness, you know what? You're right. He looks fantastic.
Da-da-da-da-da.
And then, of course, A.J. Green was takeaway number two. A.J. Green looked fast.
Da-da-da-da-da.
And I would say takeaway number three was the level of volume coming from the coaches.
Da-da-da-da-da.
This is great. We don't need a post-show meeting. We've got this down. Thank you, Command and Control.
Da-da-da-da-da.
All right, now we're killing it. We're starting to drive it into the ground a little bit. That's all right. No, we don't need that either. But to me right now, Robert Alford also was all over DeAndre Hopkins to a point where some dude that has been around the team forever turned to me and said, quote, "The only guy that has covered D-Hop better than Robert Alford is Jalen Ramsey."
Da-da-da-da-da.
Man. Chandler Jones, though, I can't get over that right now. And I know everyone's going to say, Wolf, it's his contract year. And I would say, yeah, I know.
Wolf,
I get it.
It's his contract year.
But it's not like he hasn't lived up to his current contract, ladies and gentlemen. He has. He has lived up to it. And some people would say even superseded it. Chan has established himself as one of the best pass rushers in the game. And when I say one of the best pass rushers in the game, Basinonians, that becomes the problem with this situation. Because he wants an even bigger contract than what he just completed. And the problem is, he's 32. See, that's where it becomes a difficult decision. It's not a slam dunk. If he was 27 years old, even 28, Douglas, you could see a team going, oh, man, here we go. Back up the Brinks truck. Back it up and dump it. Because this guy is worth it. Especially the way he's played and performed over that contract. But you didn't sign him. You didn't sign him for the future. You signed him because you looked at his age and said, my goodness, you know what? We can expect an awful lot from him. Can you expect the same when he's 32 years old? That's the problem. At some point in time, a general manager's got to answer that very difficult question. And with Chan, it's going to be a difficult question because he looks like he's in the best shape I've ever seen him. That says an awful lot about him and the way he's approaching this season as well. And it's one of the reasons why I think he is going to ball out. Ball out, Chan. You want to get that bucket of money? You want to get that boatload of money? Ball out in 2021, baby. And the world will be yours for another 4 years. Somebody will give him that cash. If, in fact, he shows that he's healthy and that he's capable and he's ready to go, somebody's going to give him that money if he balls out, has 17, 18, 19 sacks.
Or 4 sacks in the Meadowlands.
I'm just saying. He looks fantastic. And then I would have to say A.J. Green. Oh, my goodness. Looks healthy. He's running like the clock has been turned back to 2015. Maybe it's because it's early in camp, Douglas. Maybe he's just trying to impress his new team.
Maybe it's because he hasn't run in 3 years.
Stop it. Maybe he's motivated like he's never been motivated before. I don't know what
it is. I bet it's the latter.
I don't care because he looks awesome. Big, strong, looked fast. Fast. I can't give you particulars. I can only tell you that I saw it with my own eyes. Run by. Fast. And when you listen to Cliff Kingsbury talk, this is what is really interesting about it. Just listen to Cliff Kingsbury. He brings up A.J. Green and how they have to get A.J. Green going. Isn't that interesting?
He was also asked about, you know, what's A.J. Green's opinion of getting to play with someone like D-Hop and not being the constant double-teamed receiver.
He definitely was excited about that. He's always drawn the doubles and the coverage over the top and the best corner, and he's looked great. So I know he's excited for this opportunity.
I'm from about 45 minutes or so away from Cincinnati. So I admit I love Cincinnati. I do defend greatly Skyline Chili. It is a gift from heaven. However, I think Mike Brown is the third worst owner in all of sports.
I see.
Daniel Snyder's number two worst, and Dolan in it with the Knicks and Rangers is number one. I do believe you become unbelievably rejuvenated when you leave the Bengals. I do believe there is a new beginning.
I think, Doug Lease, I'm not trying to poo-poo, to use your terminology, anything that you're saying. I think it's that way anywhere. I think if you've been someplace for a long time, just a change of scenery a lot of the times can do you some really good. And I think this is what's going on with A.J. Green. I think it's doing him real good to actually be here. A change of scenery, something different to rejuvenate you, hit the reset button, make you a little desperate. Like, I got to prove something. Why do I know this? Because I played 7 years for the Arizona Cardinals, ladies and gentlemen. I had a career built. I was a six-time team captain, a four-time Pro Bowler, and I went to the Cleveland Browns in year eight, and man, I walked in there, and I realized this is me, but I was on point when I walked into that locker room for the first time going into training camp. On point. And the hair was bristled. And it's bristling even now as I think about it. I mean, I had to prove myself all over again. I'm not saying A.J. Green feels that desperation the way that I felt that desperation, but just a change of scenery. And to listen to Cliff Kingsbury and what he said about him, that to me, I think he's a guy. This is Cliff Kingsbury. I think he's a guy who's excited to kind of show what he still has and can do. And I think having both those guys on the field is going to be great. He's talking about D-Hop. I think he's right. A.J. Green wants to show people that he's not done. And man, just watching him run, I don't know what he did in the offseason. I don't know if he's just feeling healthy now. I don't know what it is, but he looked fast. I saw him run by some dudes. Some guys that I know can run. Wow, that blew my mind. Honestly.
Obviously, because you're standing.
And then, of course, I'm standing because of the volume. The volume of the coaches and just listening to practice. One of the things I love most about training camp practices is you could go out when they were in pads, Basinonians, you could shut your eyes, just stand there on the sideline, shut your eyes and listen. Don't watch because you get so distracted. Oh, there's the ball. Oh, look, there's D-Hop. Look at D-Hop. Man, he looks good in uniform and man, he can make some plays and your eyes will deceive you from time to time. Shut those eyes and just listen. And you can hear the volume of the coaches. You could hear it yesterday at the practice. And I don't know if I've ever recalled hearing the volume of coaches under Cliff Kingsbury yelling at some of the players. The sense of urgency that was brought to the field. I think it's a good thing. It's a positive step in the right direction, and it's not surprising with all the leadership they brought in the offseason.
When I shut my eyes, I see the clock.
Oh, I see.
Coming up next, what can we expect from the Diamondbacks at the trade deadline? It's tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We'll ask D-backs president and CEO Derek Hall if more is coming. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Madam Speaker! The president!
The president.
He's
the president and CEO of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hail to the chief.
Derek Hall.
The president.
On Now with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Cox Business. Cox Business Internet keeps you connected with 99.9% reliability. Visit coxbusiness.com for details.
Every Thursday at 8:45, the president of the Arizona Diamondbacks joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Good morning, Mr. President. Congratulations on the win last night. How are you?
Doing well, guys. And I know on another beautiful part of the program, you guys were talking about Skyline, and there's nothing like Skyline Chili.
Thank you.
You know, Gold Star's good, but Skyline is the greatest. I mean, there's been times, Doug, where I've missed it, and I've even Amazoned the spice packet, and I've tried to make my own. You know, the key is you got to make that ground beef so thin, you know, con carne style to get that just right. But there's nothing like Skyline, whether you're going little conies or chili spaghetti, it's the best.
2 points. A, always double the meat. Don't just take it out of the can. You got to double the meat.
Right.
Two, whenever you're 32 and 71, this is a brilliant way to suck up because I feel great right now. I'm in such a good mood thinking of Skyline chili. We got a lot to talk about that's negative. Let's start with the human being that is Eduardo Escobar that's positive. What does it mean to lose him?
It means a lot. You know, he's such a good person. He's got a huge heart. He's one of my favorite players that I've ever had on our team. And, you know, he's a clubhouse favorite for a reason. He cares about his teammates. He cares about his community, loves the fans. And, you know, the guy's going to be a free agent. I wouldn't rule out that we're going to, you know, have the possibility of acquiring him again. That would be something, you know, that we would look into in the offseason because he liked playing here. He does like this team. He likes the city and the market and the state. And we like him. He's a versatile guy. He always had a great attitude. And he feels bad because we didn't win during his time here. And that's obviously why we traded for him to improve our team. And I think he did a lot of good for us. He had a super year this year when, you know, there were a lot of challenges. And I'm happy for him to go to a contender right now for the final couple of months.
One of the things, I'm looking at this trade, and the only thing that got me about it is I realize he's not a 300 hitter, and he's having a really good season, but not great season. But I thought you could have got more maybe earlier in the year when the White Sox were kind of desperate. Did you hold on to him too long?
No. You know, I think if we could have gotten more, we would have. And obviously, we're taking the deal that we think is best for us and that our guys feel the best about. I mean, they're really excited about both these players. With you know, Cooper Hummel, he's a versatile guy who could play corner outfield, can catch. We really like him as an outfielder. He's a switch hitter who gets on base a lot. He's got more walks than strikeouts. He's got tremendous power as well and pop. And then the young kid, you know, with Alberto Ciprian, sky's the limit with a player like that who got a nice signing bonus, was highly sought after in the international market. So we're excited about these two players. And if you flip it, you know, flip the script here, Doug, too. If you're the other team, you're thinking, did we give away too much for 2 months of control? You know, we gave away two prospects. But ordinarily, and your question is a great one, because ordinarily there's a lot of factors that come into play around the trade deadline. If you wait until right up until the trade deadline, you might have more leverage. You might have more teams that are in it and more desperate. I don't think that was the case with this market. You know, we knew who the teams were that were interested. Some teams have fallen out since because of their record and the way they've played. But also, there were other players that these same teams were kicking around. So, you know, a few of those have already gone. And those players were being considered by all of the same teams that we were talking to for Eduardo as well.
You know, D, Eduardo just seems like such a positive guy, such an optimist all of the time, and there's nothing wrong with that. As you know, I'm an optimist. I believe you are the same guy, but for the most part, every great leader I've ever been around, they've always had an edge as well. There's always been that edge part of them where, you know what, I might drop and go right now if I have to. He doesn't strike me as that guy. Is that true?
Yeah, I've never seen that part of his personality. I've only seen a smile on his face at all times or dejection when he feels like he let somebody down because of, say, a defensive play. But, no, he's not the type that's going to go nuts and get in people's faces. You know, and you're right. You do have to have some of that, but that's not his role. And as you and I both know, Wolf, you can't force that either. And so part of the charm of Eduardo is that charm.
Yes.
You know, he's just a guy you love being around and a guy that gets hugs from his teammates because he's just a warm-hearted individual.
You know, I listening to Torrey Lovello after the game last night, it was kind of interesting the way he explained the bullpen situation, and he made it sound like it just had to do with last night's game. But I couldn't help but think that ninth inning was a little bit of a showcase. Is Clifford going to be here at 1 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, we need that depth. We need that experience at the back end of the bullpen. I think that just showed a lot of confidence that he had in Soria in a game that we felt like we had to win. And remember, going into spring training, that was going to be Torrey's approach. It was more so we're going to use guys in leverage positions, not necessarily with a role in the bullpen, but when we needed them most. And I think that's what we saw last night. He was determined to use Clifford at the end of the game, and he was going to use Soria in the eighth inning if we needed to have keep the game close or where it is in a hold situation. So I thought it was a really good move. We got through it with Soria and Clifford, and I think he could have gone either way, but instinct told him, let's use Soria in that really important eighth, and let's have Clifford at the back end of the game, and it worked.
You know, Dee, do you anticipate more deals before the deadline? And if so, how many more deals?
Well, yeah, Wolf, I think when you look at Escobar, he was the one that obviously made the most sense. And it's unfortunate because he was having the best year. You know, of course, Marte was before his injury, but Escobar was so solid. But with his expiring contract, you know, he's got a couple months left. That one made the most sense. And anytime you have expiring contracts or you have veterans, those are guys you're going to look at. I don't think we need to do anything. We're still going to have lots of talks. There's still guys that could be moved. You know, we're still having several conversations, but I look at this as a big time opportunity. I mean, quite honestly, as much as I love our guys, I hope that we're able to make another move or two. When I look at the roster and the way it's shaping up, and when I look at the success of our young guys like Varsho and Rojas and you know, Paven Smith, and then you look back and see the guys that over the last couple of years that Mike and Amiel and Fitz and those guys have been able to acquire, guys like Widener and Rojas and Van Meter and Fairchild and Gallen and Caleb Smith. Big time players have all come through trade. So rather than us saying, oh boy, we're selling, you know, you have to look at the acquisition of assets that we're starting to create and stockpile. And I'm really excited, as bad as we've played this year, I'm excited for the second half. I'm seeing glimpses of what we're going to see in the future. And that's what we need to do. We have to be honest, which we are right now. So if there are deals to be made that can help us acquire players like those that I just listed, we're going to do it.
What about eating salary? Is that on the table for some of the guys that might be moved?
Yeah, it is. Good question. This is not so much about saving salary. In fact, to your point earlier, you know, should we have moved Escobar earlier? If it was about salary, boy, we would have been motivated to do it a long time ago, right, to save another million or so. That was not the case. You know, it's more so right now making sure that we can set ourselves up for the future. And if we can get a better player in exchange for eating more salary, of course we're willing to do that. We were committed to these salaries to begin with. It hasn't gone the way we thought it would. We needed to see if it would, and it hasn't. But with that, you know, we're committed to putting the best roster together for sustainability. I keep saying it, but it's true. And that's a great question. Absolutely we are. And I think in any case, it's how much better does the return get with more money that you're willing to spend? And if we're able to get more talent back, that's going to help us now and for the future, by all means, we're interested.
D, enjoy your skyline, man. We appreciate it.
I think it is time for me to make some. Double the meat, good advice, Doug.
Good
and,
stuff.
And if that makes you happy, each week, Doug, each week on Thursday, we're going to open up with Skyline.
Now that does make me feel better. Why don't you end it?
Get some Skyline Wolves, little conies.
Why don't you end it with what does Give Back to Education Week mean? I don't know enough about it.
I appreciate that. It's good. This is our second year now with University of Phoenix. They're a tremendous partner. And, you know, I think the two of us have given, you know, over $1 million back in grants to teachers. We focus on teachers. We focus on students. It's actually going to be 2 days this year where it's over 1,000 students, and I think it's 150 teachers. But with our foundation, as you know, we've given nearly $75 million back to the community. Over $12 million of that alone is education, which is so important. It's an important part of our service. And University of Phoenix working with us to give back to education for this week. And it's, you know, it's a 7-day event, the 2 days that we focus on it during our homestand. You know, we're excited about it. We can't thank University of Phoenix enough and all the teachers and all the students out there that deserve these grants and deserve the dollars.
That's cool.
Thank you, man. Appreciate your time, brother.
You guys, too. Appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, there's Derek Hall, team president, CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Cadillac, you want Coulter Cadillac. Tempe.com. Experience the difference. Coming up next, the Cardinals have been in training camp for just one day, and already their biggest acquisition of the offseason has been sidelined. It's coming up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Diamondbacks president and CEO Derek Hall on the Doug and Wolf Show. Presented by Cox Business. Cox Business Internet keeps you connected with 99.9% reliability. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.